The community piece is critical. And the example that I cite, and first off, I think that we can't really talk about Web3 Social without talking about the contributions of the Lens team. I will stand by that. With that said, open actions have been out for a little while and are built atop the same open protocol. And it's interesting to investigate why did they not necessarily take off, let's say, quite the same way as Frames did. And I really think that is because of the builder community around Frames, as well as some intrinsic qualities of Farcaster itself.
Welcome to Web3 on Fire, where we take you on an inspiring journey through the ever-evolving world of Web3. In each episode, our host, Rob, delves into the heart of the latest innovations in decentralized technology, including account abstraction, smart accounts, aka smart contract wallets, and the future of work in the Web3 ecosystem. All right. Welcome to Web3 on Fire. Super excited to have Grace Seymour here on the pod. Super stoked as someone contributing to Farcaster, to the Frames community, to the NFT community, and just there's so much to talk about today. So very excited and welcome, Gray.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Stoked to be here. I have long been an Ambir follower and enjoyer. I was joking before we jumped on that you let me know if you want me to hum a theme song or something. It's like, when you want your tokens near, remember Ambir? Something terrible like that. But I think this is why I rely upon AI and LLMs to make music, honestly.
Yep, same here. I've had a lot of fun in that space as well. So got that kinship in common as well.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, definitely. I think it's cool that you're focusing on and sharing it. I think Web3 on Fire is really is an apt term. I was telling some friends that I guess week before last, I made the critical miscalculation of choosing Friday and Saturday for a digital detox of sorts. And then that's when Frames launched. And I came back Sunday and I was, oh my God, it was genuinely overwhelming. Yep. You know, I've been hearing from Farcaster OGs more and more. Like a lot of them are moving, for example, over to like Supercast as a client because the algo is really just like people you follow and it's a little bit tighter. But even then, I think half of the fun is around like new discovery and also educating new users though. Yep. You'll have to pry my Warpcast from my cold hands.
Exactly. Well, it was super cool because that's how we connected. There is the Ambir connection, the Farcaster connection, and then just this point of crossover. And it happened to mint your claim to Frame.
Yeah.
And so then I reached out there was another Frenchman that was talking about French rap and we're like, oh yeah, send it on over. I think that was on Twitter actually. So then that just started off this little conversation. So super stoked.
I'm realizing that one of the great perils of Web3 and being terminally on chain is it's not uncommon to realize that you've been completely mispronouncing something your whole life. I appreciate that it's Ambir, but at the same time, you could have let me know before I messed up the theme
worries.
Song.
Hey, it's always a conversation that we have as a team with people. They're always curious about how we arrived at it because people have a ton of different pronunciations. And because this is crypto, it's worldwide. So things are always pronounced differently and we've read more things than we've said out loud because of the internet.
Sure. The next,
really like that terminally online,
terminally on chain.
That
yes.
Might need to be on a shirt very soon.
I'll be the first to wear it. Yeah. If you already have some experience around brokering and negotiating the right ways to pronounce things, perhaps, or to how to help people, if you guys want to take point on solving the great ETH versus ETH debate, you'll be the heroes of Web3.
I think we need a poll in a frame for that one.
Yes. So what are you excited about with Frames? I can riff on that too, but what are you thinking about them?
For one, from a wallet perspective and the whole account abstraction, this is super exciting to see groups like Patch and some others just deploying these immediately and being able to then interact with your account abstracted wallet via your Farcaster connected or Warpcaster connected wallet. That stuff is super interesting. And it also just takes me back to a OG Web 2.0 days, even before the whole Facebook and OG tag and this whole what we're using from the open source protocol standpoint. But it was the mishmashing of the internet. And it was the first time user generated content was out there, delicious bookmarks, and people were building on top of delicious bookmarks, making like Live Link the river of feed coming from all the delicious bookmarks that people were saving throughout the internet. And it was an interesting time for builders and people to be creating really interesting things that smashed pieces of the internet together because it was an open protocol and because there was this sense of openness within the community and sharing code and just open source software as a whole. And I did post about it a little earlier today on Farcaster, just about the Enshittification of the internet from Cory Doctorow. Like, it, just this idea that all the interop and all the switching costs messed with all, the big seven basically made it impossible for us to interopt. So Web3 finally, then plus all the fun and interesting protocols, then the builders. It really feels like back in the day where there was so much excitement for builders within the builders, and they weren't getting snatched up by big companies to build the things that would de-interopt everything.
Yeah, the builder slash community piece is really critical. And I say that from a couple of perspectives. One, I have a really close relationship with the BASE Foundation. BASE is very focused on builders. The little sort of agency that I'm running, it's now at least formally a two-person agency, which is great. As of this past weekend, met my collaborator and hired them off of Farcaster in the BASE channel, which is cool. Excellent. But no, the community piece is critical. And the example that I cite, and first off, I think that we can't really talk about Web3 Social without talking about the contributions of the Lens team. I will stand by that. With that said, open actions have been out for a little while and are built atop the same open protocol. And it's interesting to investigate why did they not necessarily take off, let's say, quite the same way as Frames did. And I really think that is because of the builder community around Frames, as well as some intrinsic qualities of Farcaster itself. And I think that's definitely something that I know that Dan and team will continue to support and I'm really excited about. But I also think that when we think about how we can support just as users, in my case, as somebody who's also supporting builders, could see Frame opportunities. We could talk about the Frame token as well. But I don't think people necessarily realize that new user education is really critical. I had a bit of a respectful, but a difference of opinion with Dan the other day. There's a great channel on Farcaster called Don't Do This. It's one of my favorites.
I love it as well.
The fact that I'm a top caster in there, I don't really know what to make of that. But I also try and mention when I make mistakes too and say, this is my mistake edition. But yeah, the disagreement slightly that I had with Dan was that I was pointing out and talking about some different ways to try and help people understand how to better adhere to Casticat. And his answer, he messaged back, or rather he casted back and said, he replied and said, just mute them and move on. And like, totally respect that. And B, man, I have to imagine that he's feeling that way worse than I am.
Sure.
I have to imagine that Dan Romero maybe doesn't have the same amount of time that I have.
Being constantly tagged and spammy, scammy, but yeah.
At the same time, if we really want the platform to continue to thrive, right, we have to think about, okay, so we have these great builders building Frames. Who are the ones interacting with the Frames? Because if it were only the builders. Wouldn't have had the same effects. This wouldn't have had the same massive upswing. Yep. So yeah, and I also find that giving people the opportunity to be upright castizens is good. It's good for the soul.
I think a redemption arc is always an important concept. I worked for another company called Samurai AI, and it was all about content moderation in chat communities. And it was an extremely intelligent AI built off neurosymbolic, so it could understand counterfactuals, could understand that you weren't actually attacking the person, that you were supporting them.
So sentiments and inflection.
And the fact that someone may say, oh, I can't believe they called you an a-hole. They're clearly not attacking you, but rather supporting you. So it knew exactly how to intervene. So the intervention was critical. And the intervention, and because we did a bunch of studies that were published, the best interventions were those that were actually informative and let the actor know what they were doing wrong, how they can be a better netizen, Farcast citizen, and have that casticate, et cetera, but really help them to understand whether it was the terms of conditions or whether it was some piece of etiquette that they were, or forwarding them to Don't Do This channel, just to see some other examples. But I really, truly believe that giving someone an arc to redemption is important, and education is critical within that.
I'm really wondering, and maybe this is cut me off and cut the feed if this gets a little too controversial, but I really wonder, for me, it's not an if, it's a when the limits of permissionlessness will be tested. And it sucks because when I bring that up, the response, people seem to think I'm being a naysayer, or people seem to think that I'm certainly not anti-Farcaster, and I'm certainly not anti-permissionlessness. One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately is permissionlessness does not invalidate the need for consent. I think that's something to consider. And like, it's great that the community is self-policing and self-moderating. But at the same time, what happens when somebody posts something blatantly illegal? I don't need to get into specifics. You can imagine what I'm talking about. When somebody posts something hateful or violent or deeply inappropriate, okay, we're permissionless. What does that mean? What happens? I understand probably like a technical and like data custodianship perspective or level rather. I don't imagine that like Dan and Co. would have to necessarily comply with subpoenas per se. But at the same time, like that gets really tricky. And I think these are things that maybe like we can look at other platforms that have been very pro-permissionless. Like Reddit comes to mind. I would not call Reddit permissionless now. I wouldn't even necessarily have called Reddit permissionless per the crypto primitive at any point either, really. But I think you get what I mean. Yeah. As somebody yourself that's had some experience, apparently a lot of experience with the sort of moderation piece, what do you think is coming down the pipe in terms of the testing the bounds and stress testing permissionless?
Yeah, I think the really interesting piece of that is where's the inflection point where it becomes important or the community or groups of communities. So you could also imagine we're working against the Lens protocol and with Lens on this as well, back at ETH Denver and a little bit before that, thinking about how at a protocol level, we could give these customizable, but governed by on-chain votes so that an actual community could decide on which levers to pull, which things they wanted banned, which things were okay, especially when we think about communities that can be token gated or can be verified and specific. So then they're opt-in communities in terms of if I'm not comfortable with the community and the direction it's going, I could vote to help make moderation better, or I could also opt out of the community, but we don't want to lose people in the community, but having that moderation and the ability to decide for a community to decide for themselves based on the people that, you know, either are token holders or have active use in that community. Those types of things I think are going to be really important is the personalization of the algorithm and then the attributes being on chain and governed that way.
I saw something from Lens about that recently that almost made my eyes pop out of my head. I thought it was so cool. I believe it was one of the founders, I'm not sure, or one of the people running the show over there. And they posted a screenshot of a function in Lens whereby one could toggle different algorithms. And yes. Specifically yes. that there would be community created or custom algorithms. And that is so brilliant in my mind. Yeah. I mean, I'm very wary of when people say this, but in my mind, that is like bordering on new paradigm. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. And I think,
and hey, I mean, I wish I could apply that to my life more broadly. Right.
Yeah. I mean, with a Vision Pro and a Quest 3, maybe actually being able to filter out and augment what in the real world would be.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, Hay's really on the forefront of algorithm switching. I'm sure Favor and some of the other apps are using it. I assume it's probably at the protocol level, or people can develop these open so they can be applied at the various like app front end levels.
What do you think about what you guys are building about Ambire?
Ambire.
Ambire. God damn. Okay. Fire. Web3 on fire. Ambire. No, you messed me up. You said Ambire at the end.
They did a little background. When they're building out, they had come from AdX, which is a decentralized ad network.
Oh, cool.
And we're relaunching. That's a big thing that we're continuing with. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to keep the A name. And so they were going through and looking at strong, fiery, and Ambire, and then Ambire. It feels like fun and beer, but then it has this root of Ambire, fire. So it really was this fully made up word, but there was some logic, some sort of method to the madness in terms
on it. We should talk about the AdX piece too, because I think there's some really interesting stuff there. I've had some great initial conversations with OAP, with Open Ads Protocol, nice. OAP.gg, beautiful website, will always be stuck in my brain. It's one of just the prettiest website/landing pages I've ever seen. Really cool. Similarly, other initiatives around decentralized ad networks that I was really excited about have really fallen flat. An example that comes to mind, there is a browser company that rhymes with Brave that has an ad program. And I had reached out to that about some possible client stuff. And like their like mechanism to get back in touch was to have a no profile picture Telegram guy message me. And again, okay, so it's early stages, dude. Like it's hacky and it's plucky and that's cool. But I'm willing to bet that the price point wasn't hacky, plucky, nor cool. Right. So I don't know. Yeah, it's tricky. And I also think that if ever there was a community that has a strong BS detector, that is wary of intrusive advertisements or tracking or anything. It's the Web3 community. It really is. I'd be interested to understand sort of your take on that. How do you add value, like actual, not like business terminology value, but like actually add value to people through decentralized ads?
When I think it comes to the tenet of the privacy angle and being able to actually understand what people are interested in without sharing the identity. And a lot of this is going to come to even some of the stuff like DIDs and the credentials where they can be deployed with cryptography, not necessarily on chain, but can be accessed by on chain and overall improving that platform overall. I know for AdX, they've been working on relaunching, and I'm fully on the Empire side, so I'm not super familiar with the AdX world, but I know that they are relaunching and creating new publishing networks that are much higher quality. So it's almost like from end to end, they're trying to make sure that both the publisher network and then the user groups are high quality, but there's this level of privacy at the forefront. And then obviously a tokenomics model that helps to incentivize, similar to the rhymes like Aave type of platform, but open and not at the level, because we know the types of funding mechanisms that come to build some of that infrastructure overall, the groups that are behind them, is just much different than I think the builder world that's builder to builder. Or so that it's, I have a service and a platform, let's work together to build something together, to integrate with each other. I think that's a huge tenet that's super important for going forward. I want access to the platforms and want to be able to have a quick call, and the person that I'm speaking with understands completely their own platform or protocol and understands mine as well. And it's just boom, one-to-one, like super quick, let's build.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anything else is at odds with a lot of the ethos of what we're doing. I feel like I have unintentionally been grilling you. what can I answer for you? What's on your mind lately?
Yeah, I'd love just basically get an understanding where you've come from in the tech space, but then how you narrow down into Web3 and crypto community, all this other side of the Farcaster and building side, and probably previously as well. Maybe just give a nice big overview and we'll just keep the same conversation going.
How uncensored do you want it?
100%. We can edit whatever.
It's needed. I always like to be a little bit careful. Yeah. So I first started doing growth consulting by lying about my age on the internet when I was 15. The more I say that to people, the more others seem they can. So I find people that can relate to it. So that's interesting. The slightly sadder part of that is that my dad passed when I was pretty young. He was actually the co-founder of PC Magazine and TheStreet.com.
Amazing.
Yeah.
PC
yeah,
Magazine super, when I was a kid, go to Borders.
Yeah. Jim Seymour, super cool guy. He also literally taught Michael Dell how to build computers in his garage and appointed his first CFO. And he did a lot of cool stuff in the tech world. And I think about a lot the fact that I think he would be really interested in a lot of the move towards decentralization. But he passed when I was pretty young, and my mom had some pretty severe health issues. So I essentially had to go to work. And I'm glad I did. I really am. I eventually got accepted to Mizzou, University of Missouri, for journalism and strategic communications. Hated it. I absolutely couldn't stand it. I think it was a product of I'd already been doing paperwork. So it's like now I'm doing paperwork and spending money instead of paperwork and getting money. But no, I did eventually return for some education elsewhere. But either way, I decided to dip out on that. And then I moved to Boise, where I am now. Moved around a bunch of different places, but ended up in Boise, where I am now, to go work for Hewlett-Packard. I spent about a half decade with HP, really working on internal, like entrepreneurial business units, two business units that we took from zero to over $1 billion ARR in under 5 years, and doing great, really cool stuff there, mostly around the intersection of the kind of prosumer world. So specifically purposing high-end consumer stuff for more professional environments, but then also other stuff, like we launched HP's first smartwatch in conjunction with Michael Bastian and Gilt.com. We did a promo with Clams Casino, a bunch of really interesting cool stuff.
I love Clams However, Casino, by the way.
Yes, yeah, same. Nice guy, too. Fan. So that said, during my time there, I survived three workforce reductions of over 30,000 people getting laid off. And I realized that all the smart people around me were starting to go elsewhere. And I'm like, oh, okay, this seems like a, not only was that, did that seem like an indicator, but suddenly the people that were surrounding me were a very different group of people. And I went from having a ton of autonomy and like a blank checkbook to run like a cool, like SWAT team internally almost, to literally doing data entry. It was like the, it was like actual data entry. It was like the thing that they talk about with the punishment of like Japanese salarymen, how they'll keep their salary intact, but make them work on the production floor till they quit. It was exactly like that. And that's exactly what happened. I quit. The guy that I was working for at the time over there was kind enough to be like, yeah, I figured this might happen. You take the rest of the week. Goodbye. I'm like, all right, turn in your badge where, you know, where, okay. So yeah, I joined a company called TopTal as their fourth or fifth full-time employee. Very big company now, very much in the upsourcing, if you're familiar, like they match, yeah, top 3% developers to companies that need them. They've worked with a bunch of really cool companies. And yeah, I was there for the Andreessen raise and some other cool stuff there, and contributed a lot to that in the like 80 to 100 million range within a couple of years individually, which was super cool. Bounced around, consulted some other companies like that. But in the background, back at the HP point, I had thrown about $500-$600 in what, 2015, 2016 into Dogecoin. And then it got locked on a phone that was like fried to death. So fast forwarding a bit, I bounced around some different places. I consult to a bunch of different places. Then the pandemic hits and I end up leaving / being told to leave the company that I was working for at the time. And I was a little bit distraught. And I mentioned my wonderful, incredible shout out. She'll probably listen to this, but even if she wouldn't, shout out to my wonderful fiance, Jenny. I was lamenting to her. I'm like, I have this crypto on this phone. But I, and to be clear, I had given this to actual specialists. I had found people on Reddit that were like specialists in that product line that used to work for HTC, like the whole thing. But she just looks at me and she's like, have you tried plugging it in? And I think I snapped at her. I'm like, yeah, I've tried plugging it in. She's like, let me try. I'm like, fine. And of course, it boots right up.
Oh my God.
You know, it boots right up. And look, not a life-changing, like permanently life-changing amount of money, but enough for me to take like a couple years off. Nice. I mentioned the uncensored piece. Part of the background of this is that through the entire sort of timeline that I've shared, I nursed a pretty severe hard drug habit, and which I never went out and partied. I would just work. And you know, yeah. I talked to a friend who will remain anonymous, and he mentioned to me that he sees this shit all the time. It's not that uncommon. It's just
functional,
not talked about.
And practical use.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially as the pandemic hit and a couple of years of that tail end, it got pretty rough. So to that end, with that money and with some soul searching, did a little bit of rehab, two years, just about approaching 2 years, awesome. Totally clean now and planning on that for the rest of my life. Couldn't be happier. And then, so the interesting thing for me is that as I was at post-rehab, I was, if you know anybody, or if by any chance you've had any experience, you don't need to confirm with addiction yourself. One of the things that's really hard.
I've had it in my family very strongly for a long time, so totally understand. And yeah.
One of the things that's really tricky is that a lot of what you're doing with that is this really intense dissociation. And when you spend enough time dissociating from issues or from trauma or from the world around you, when you come out of that almost fugue state, it's very hard to know who you are or like what you want to do. And I really attribute a lot of that to why people tend to relapse. There are multiple reasons. There are physiological reasons, there are psychological reasons, but I think one of them is that identity crisis of sorts. Yeah. And it just happened that I decided to just throw myself into the current generation of Web3. I got enrolled in Securium, learned a little bit of Solidity auditing, and then threw myself into learning more about EVM L2s and it was a tough learning curve, but it gave me something to throw myself into and it kept me on the right track. And then, yeah, now I find myself very tightly aligned again to the Base Foundation, but also ZK and some others. And my focuses at this point are really helping other builders accelerate their projects and also trying to keep the community safe wherever possible. And then in the background, to bring this full circle, one of my goals within the next year or two is to figure out how to bring addiction recovery on chain. I think there's some really cool stuff that can be done there in terms of the crypto primitives of around anonymity, around station. I think there's some really cool stuff that could be done there. I don't see any need for it to be like tokenized or anything, but I think in terms of some of the on-chain tech, there's a lot of cool stuff. Where I'm struggling a little bit is that it would be deeply unethical. And I have totally separate thing somewhere along that path. I do have some like therapist credentials as well, but it would be deeply irresponsible for me to do that without actual addiction therapists. The cool thing is I have some people lined up. I have some medical professionals lined up that are all on board, but it's expensive. And then I've had some conversations with some excellent VCs, excellent in certain regards, but The problem is that when I talk to them about it and I tell them, so they're, and I'm sure you've seen this before, they're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I show them like, hey, look, this can be 80% like more affordable than a treatment center and still make this much money. And suddenly their eyes light up. And then suddenly they pivot the conversation to basically want to make it like YC for junkies, which is not, that's not the move. That's not the angle. Yeah. So it's the classic issue of like, how do you do that without like perverting the mission? But how do you pay?
Missing out on the point, especially that you're trying to bring from your experience and from the experience you've taken in from others. They're like immediately trying to do their spin.
Yeah, I made the mistake of saying cohort based. And I think that was like the in the VC pilled brain rot. That was like the, oh, I see, I understand.
Yep. They don't think about Timothy Leary's prison project or something more like that in the recovery cohorts that were together that helped them.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, if anyone's listening and you're a venture capitalist, I love you. I love you so much. Don't worry. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other guy, probably. Exactly. Don't worry.
And if you're a VC out there that understands it, you know where to find him.
We've got a couple of really interesting people that I think really do get it. We just need to move things along a little further. And I also think that right now I'm really focused on helping other people because I learned so much from that too. And I think that I see a path to self-funding what I'm talking about as well through the work that we're doing now, which is, I was just talking to, I think I mentioned in our little pre-call that I was talking to a wonderful lady, Nounish professor of Good Morning Farcaster and of Nouns and Fantastic Lady. And I was telling her that it's like an interesting balance in terms of serving builders, but also serving some of these kind of larger entities that are maintaining these EVM L2s. And coming out of that, we're trying to figure out how to make our services like super accessible to people. One of the way, and what I mentioned to her is that I know for a fact that we as a little agency are leaving money on the table, but I'm fine with that. I'm really, truly okay with that. Whether this piece specifically scales, I'm not so sure. But as of right now, we're really focused on just trying to help people make as for them as we can. And then they tend to take care of us. I wonder if I'll still be as like bright-eyed with 6 months, 12 months of that. But right now it's working. So
no, totally.
I'm optimistic. That's a long rundown. That's a lot.
No, it's awesome because it's perfect because it's taken us from your enterprise working at this larger scale and being able to provide all this value. But at the same time, there was a realization that there was something maybe not lacking, but that you wanted to focus on more and clearly has given you a lot more satisfaction and helping more people and maybe having more access to those people and groups that you have and participating much more in an open community, people willing to share just in the same way that you've learned, you're able to teach others. And as long as we keep it all open and in open channels and keep posting GitHubs and put it all out there, then, you know, people will learn and we'll bring more and more people that will teach others and create all these systems. It's exactly. A lovely open internet world that we have out there. As long as we just put our blinders on and focus on building and focus on the good people and all the openness.
Yeah.
And such.
Jesse Pollock Bass had made a cast, I think this morning, where he was talking about what a special time this is in terms of everybody that's building and the interconnectedness. And I had commented that I agree. And then especially in the Bass ecosystem, to have this sort of ability to move fast and be scrappy, but still have this institutional backing. Yeah. And that either way, I feel strongly that we're going to look back at this sort of era of Web3 very fondly. I think that the influx of people to Farcaster has been like an interesting, sort of like a microcosmic case study of sorts, because this is one of the things that I feel really strongly about. If we were to believe the next billion people on chain narrative, which I do, and I'll repeat that with my full chest, this is where I always lose some percentage of people, and that's okay too. If we're to believe that, which I do, we also have to assume that the next billion people on chain aren't exclusively going to be tech literate 20s, 30s, straight white dudes. And like, I check a bunch of those boxes, maybe not all of them, but I check a bunch of those boxes. I'm not throwing myself in the fire. But my point is that the way that I like to put it is that like, we need to invite people to the pool. We need to give them swimming lessons, and then we need to give them a reason to swim on their own. Yep. In order for this to really work, and doing that for a broader, more organically diverse group of people, there are challenges to it. I think that there's no silver bullet either. When Jesse and I do have slight disagreements, it's because understandably, he's focused on the cultural component and sort of artistic and creative empowerment, which I think is one of the ways. But I think that we can't focus on that so much that we lose sight of financial empowerment. Financial empowerment is a huge driver. You can't pay your rent with NFTs or on-chain media, if we want to use the proper term,
Only spider pictures that David
draws. Yeah, or monkey pictures that celebrities are showing on late night shows. Yeah. No, I just got your reference. That's fantastic. Oh man, I was a little late on that. Oh God, I haven't thought of 22/B in ages.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. I think
you can't pay with memes, and we need both sides of the coin, because everyone's as privileged to be able to have such pictures to maybe financially incentivize versus literally being able to contribute something on chain via GitHub or just helping protocols or projects out, and the money that they can actually receive, depending on where you are in the world, it matters a ton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It's just like the leveling.
I'm really excited about Bountycaster. I think Bountycaster is a really cool project. I've completed probably like $300 or $400 of bounties, I would say, over a handful of them, which really helped me stay involved earlier on in my kind of Web3 learning journey, and met some great people through that as well, which is fantastic. But in terms of, I also attribute Bountycaster as a big part of the story and the success of Frames too. Because like, obviously it was a very open protocol, but somewhat specialized sort of knowledge, but a lot of interest. And then it went from, oh God, what is this? What is this? How do we do this? To, oh shit. Okay. I can just post a bounty on Bountycaster. And I've seen situations where it's done in 2 hours. Yeah. And that's like, that's wild. That is so cool to me.
When to go from zero, just a Notion doc, no GitHub, no starters, to then a week, 2 weeks later now with the, oh my God, it's going to be Friday tomorrow.
Yeah.
Video came out. It's amazing.
It did? I've been so heads down. I missed this.
Last Friday, that was the new four low numbers. I was able to get some video posted. I was stoked just to be a part of the push towards video. But yeah, it was just so exciting seeing nothing, no projects, nothing on GitHub, and then boom, libraries and frameworks and tons of examples, and then people cataloging it all. And it just, it's all the parts of the puzzle coming together very quickly, where it wasn't so builder heavy or financialization or minting, or it was like all of the above. And then people are like figuring out what they like. Okay, maybe we shouldn't push for recasting on everything. It's spam, finding out where the balance in everything is, and it almost organically through the community.
This is one of the things that we're thinking about. It's interesting because you've mentioned, I think in the last like couple minutes, we mentioned a few different metas that are really attached to the couple few token projects that I've been helping out lately. The piece about the sort of pull between, let's say, like more degen DeFi versus more cultural on-chain media. I don't think those, in fact, I know those. A month ago, I would have said, I don't think. Now I'll say, I know that those two aren't mutually exclusive. There are massive synergies between those two. At this point, I have no problem working on meme coin projects, but they have to fit into my meta of when is a meme coin more than a meme coin. Great example of this, TYBG. Thank you, Base God. I'm still always going to call him Dev. It's weird for me to call another dude God. It's just, I'm not comfortable with it. But Dev, really nice guy, is doing this whole sort of like creative lorecraft world building. He's like really, he's adding utility constantly. Similarly, DGen, great example there. I would say out of the three, DGen was probably the one that I was the least involved with, to be totally candid. But I had some sort of initial contributions at the outset. It's really hard to quantify that stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, DGen, there's been this whole community springing up around DGen, and their market cap's insane. It's 120, 130 million, last I looked. It's just for how short. Yeah, for how short it's been out. And then again, to bring that full circle onto the Frames piece, the Frame token specifically, I think that when we first launched the token, a lot of these things, it was just an experiment, right? All DGen and Frame both being Farcaster native tokens, if you will, both were launched in a period where, and I would say that's still fairly experimental, honestly, but I think that because of the gold rush towards Farcaster native tokens, which like if you're on Farcaster and you have your wallet connected, chances are you've received a ton of awful base tokens. One of the things I'm focused on right now is trying to sort the good ones from the bad. Yeah, I think it's actually as important to champion the good ones as it is to call out the bad ones.
I think it's a filtering mechanism on its own.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. I have some cool stuff coming out about that next week, where specifically what people who will, if you get a bad token, you can send it to this address that we're setting up called the Based Bin. And once a week, we're going to pick out one sender and give them some Ethereum. So I'm excited about it. It should be cool.
Look at what's possible with these technologies, protocols, and platforms. Yeah. It's just so beautiful to be able to put something like that together so easily. There's still work being done.
No, it's really not that much. We bought a tokenized domain off 3DNS. I mean, we're buying the ENS to set it up. It's mostly just design and conceptual and promotional distribution.
Actually, at this point,
It's like a weekend hack. That's what I'm seeing it as. But so as to the Frame token, when we launched that, I think there was a lot of wariness in the community of, okay, are these guys just trying to capitalize on like the Frames blowing up, which like makes sense. I totally understand that wariness, knowing that it was really just a very small 3-4. Now maybe 6-7, I can't even really say team, just individuals working towards the same goal, collective, if you will, working on this. And then now, so like I'm running point on some of these sort of like community synergies. The Own the Doge project launched on Base and did a huge airdrop this morning. Frame community received some of that. We have a really cool thing coming out with Lens Post around a competition there. I'm hopefully next week launching the Frame Ladies as opposed to Frame Lords, the Frame Ladies Builder competition. We're going to give out a healthy amount of frame to people building on there. And then totally separate from my little partnership contributions, the sort of core OG couple dudes that had launched this, they're working on some really macro stuff that I think is going to be really interesting. And I think it's going to add a lot of utility. One of the things that I, to close this little tangent off, one of the things that I have been talking with a few people about, and I'm really trying to advise every single token project that I'm talking to right now. And I would say that we are consulting to probably 6 or 7 different token projects right now in various stages, about half pre-launch, about half post-launch. And that's about to go up a lot too. But I keep telling these project founders two things. One, do so ethically, but make sure to figure out ways to stock your treasury. All of these really cool initiatives, they come at a cost. And at some point, you don't want to necessarily have to be in the position of going back to the community to ask for funding. It's okay in some cases, especially early stage, but build your treasury, do so ethically.
Yeah,
exactly. But two, I feel like right now, even just like Farcaster-friendly tokens, we could say TYBG, DGen Frame, I'm already getting like first-time base enjoyers coming to me and being like, I have 150, 200 bucks, which of these should I go with? And of course, my answer is, not a financial advisor, I can't tell you, but here's the thing, like, what does that look like when the number of legit, say, base projects that are Farcaster friendly are 5, 10, 15, 20, 100, 200, 300. And it's almost going to the grocery store and having to pick from items on a shelf, except the shelf is eventually infinite in all directions, right? And each brand or each whatever's in there might have different benefits or might be better for you. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, all of this is a long way to say. My second point is that I really am trying to encourage these project teams to think about how to add utility, whether that's off-the-shelf staking, whether that's some sort of like bonding protocol or mechanism, whether that's a unique token sync, like a token burn or merch or something else. Like there needs to eventually, especially I feel it in my bones, this wave of people coming into Web3 are going to have a lower appetite for holding without being able to do anything with it. They're going to be higher in the JEET department. They're going to be higher in the FUD department. And you can't really, as a community, just be like, don't sell. Cause like, obviously it doesn't exactly engender confidence.
It's a part of a deep-seated community, of course. Going to be the same community coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you give them a route other than selling, like actually using it or staking it or earning on it, even if that's a low percentage staking that helps stave off or offset some potential loss. Like, I don't really care what it is, but my point is that six months from now, that store shelf, the decision isn't going to be on the box. It isn't going to be on the box art. It isn't going to be on the position on the shelf. It's going to be on what's inside the box. Yeah. So build the treasury, add utility, build the treasury, add utility. And give back. The third one really is give back. I stand by that. I really do. That's one of the things I love about the Own the Doge project. They've given over $1 million already to Save the Children. Do you know about that project? It's actually really cool.
No, I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so they've been around for a while, but they just launched on Base very recently, this past week, or this week, I guess. So I don't know if you know this, but when Dogecoin launched, the owner of Doge, the actual dog and the person who took the picture, nothing. Which I don't think it was necessarily like a malicious play per se. But the point is that they really didn't get like anything out of it directly. And so when the opportunity presented itself, this team came together and they bought the rights to the Doge image, making sure that it would go to Doge's owner for $4.5 million at auction. Now, interestingly enough, Doge's mom, as she's called, turned around and donated most of that right back to charity, which is wild. Very cool. But these guys, they've been heads down building for a while. They've been on F mainnet for a while, but some of the stuff they've done, like they, I always forget the name, but there's a famous Japanese designer, statue designer that they worked with to build like a massive Doge statue. And they worked with the local temple where they erected it to help the community and put that up. They have a like no BS Hollywood level documentary being produced that'll be syndicated probably next year. Again, over $1 million to save the children. And just really, they auctioned off the couch from the background of the Doge picture. They created flower Dow because there's a flower in the background. But at its core, the token itself is actually fractionalized ownership of the original Doge NFT, which I think is really interesting. And then the other thing that's cool is that by doing this sort of official route, which I would even go so far as to say that wasn't even really an option when Dogecoin was launched. So again, I don't attribute malice there, but they are the ones that hold the actual like licensing rights. There's a firm public commitment that they're not going to be the meme police. They're not going to go and take stuff down. Yeah. They are in a position, if they want to create the Doge Adidas, or I know they're also very focused on not like, yeah, they're focused on not like creating plastic trash landfill. Unethical supply chain stuff. Yep. But I guess what I'm saying is that when I look at who could potentially be in charge of licensing that particular bit of internet culture, these guys are, they're some of the good ones. They really are. Shout out Smoke on that team.
It feels very nouns-ish, honestly, in just the nouns community of it being CC0, so it's open. Like you said, they're not going to be the meme police and go after you. In fact, it's open within their community to take any of the imaging and do what you'd like. But also then they've got the funding mechanisms through Prop House and through the grants, essentially, to get people to build all these amazing things. So that's really cool. The fact that they're able to do it singularly as that project alone versus obviously the nouns is a gigantic community. So that's awesome.
Man, I really, it's so funny. I learned about nouns super late. And I also learned about Farcaster super late, to be honest. So obviously when I first hopped on a Farcaster, I kept seeing about this, and this is so embarrassing a little bit, but I thought it was just like a basic little NFT project. So everybody was saying about this DAO, and I'm like, I'm posting like, hey guys, how can I get one of these nouns? How can I mint one? And then somebody like, it was like, oh, you can get them at auction. I'm like, can I just go mint it? And then I opened it up and saw, like, I'm like, oh,
public auction, one ETH plus.
Yeah, dude, yeah, way more than one ETH last time I looked. It's like, maybe it was just the day. Maybe it was just a pretty cool noun. But the time I got in there, it was expensive. Like, it was like 10, 15 ETH. It was, no, that's out of my range for now.
And so that's like a cool thing with like little nouns owns a few nouns themselves. So that they have delegated voting rights so that you can vote for projects through the little nouns community having held the noun. But it's a really cool community just in terms of building and creating and doing it all over the world and having grown all that, their treasury and such. Obviously, they've had some issues with two forks and a bit of rage burn dynamic issues, but just cool in that same way with own the Doge?
Yeah. Cool. My only slight beef, and this is, there's no way they could have really known about this. My only slight beef about that project is when they launched onto Base, they went with the ticker DOG. And there's already a project that's totally unrelated with the same ticker. So it's, I was almost telling them, I'm like, I don't have any say in this, of course, but I almost feel like you might want to just reach out and acquire that project because the cost of trying to acquire that project versus like the opportunity cost of people like going and investing in the wrong one.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was all like short term. And yeah, it's interesting. I feel like the Base meta is moving fast. The Web3 social meta is moving fast. The meta is moving fast. What do you think is next in terms of that's new? Not like extensions of stuff we can see right now, but if you had to do the sort of like crypto Nostradamus thing, like what do you think?
Super, super interesting. I think in terms of, we haven't seen interoperability really reach maximum critical mass. I think because of we're all building front end tools and having to figure out all of those bits on top of protocols, we're still at the very nascent level of that interop. And so seeing more and more, I imagine a future in which A, everything just works so that just the same of today being able to post using Yup as my front end, I'm able to touch all these other protocols, but it maybe all the smoothness of all that is easy and all the roughness has gone away in terms of it taking the text formatting or not knowing which user to at reply. But it just really all of that going away, along with the identity and me easily being able to move between properties without thinking about it as wallet, but rather it's my identity and I carry it around with me everywhere, including the DID technology and all the things that are cryptographic, but don't have to do with the blockchain, but just not even thinking about that. And that the fact that my grandmother is an internet user, I could imagine her actually being able to be comfortable on Web3.
Dude, it is so weird that you say that, is because this is a phrase that I use frequently as my sort of litmus test, is truly what I call the grandma's quilting test. So this is, if granny wanted to, could she get on Web3 and obtain a quilting pattern? And right now, the answer is absolutely not. What is a wallet? I have a wallet in my pocket. What do you mean sign a transaction? Where's my pen? Like all these things that I think that what's interesting is we talk so much about account abstraction, paymasters, but in my mind, the real abstraction is at the terminology level. I actually think Bankless Academy has done amazing work with this in terms of your wallet is your account. Address is your PO box. Your private key is your mailbox key. Don't give away your key. Like they've done, great organization, by the way. Love Bankless Academy. Hopefully you can do some work with them pretty soon. Yeah. Really good people. Distinct from Bankless, but has their full support. Really good people. Yeah, no, I think that once some of those things fall away. And the cool thing is it's like the technical stuff and the deep dives and the EIPs, that'll always be there. Yep. That's not going anywhere. Just if you like want to get WC into that, you can get into that.
Yeah, W3C standards will continue on just the same as these Ethereum standards and ERCs, et cetera, will continue. Yep.
But
it's the inside baseball players that will be still fascinated, interested, but it will be fewer because we'll be saturated by normies or pro normies at that point, just the percentage of people that will be paying attention to those versus the number of people that have no idea what that means and they shouldn't care or have to.
To bring that full circle to one of the stages of the sort of background that I shared earlier, I think this is probably part of a lot of this kind of drives with me because all the way back to the HP days, again, that sort of prosumer thing, it's how do we take consumer technology and repurpose it for pros, and how do we take pro technology and make it accessible to consumers? I really, truly believe in breaking down some of those barriers. And my hope is that there is a shift or a continued movement towards making sure that all of these benefits, economic, creative, technological, make it to as many people as possible. Like in one of the examples that comes to mind, I have respect for what the WorldCoin project has done, but like, calling it universal and then bottlenecking it around these like orbs that are like that assume that most likely you're English speaking, that you're in a major city, that you know what this is, that you have a smartphone, that you like, that's not universal. Again, and like consent, it's experimental.
Consent as well in terms of understanding what you're truly giving away.
Yeah, no, exactly. Or the fact that you're essentially receiving like a speculative asset. Like it's just, again, they've done amazing stuff there. But I think that the real opportunity is putting these tools in the hands of people, making them continually easier and easier. One thing, this is cheesy, but I love this. So I upgraded to the iPhone 15 recently, a couple days ago, and the action button, I kid you not, is now a dedicated Zora button. Look at that. Nice. Goes straight to Zora minting. And now it's, of course, not loading, but it does generally load.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. We're streaming this video right now. Riverside's sucking up all the bandwidth.
It's here. It's at least the Zora logo's in the corner. Big shout out to Zora. So much love for Zora.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say also, shout out Gitcoin as another organization that's really putting a lot of this into the hands of others. We just worked with them deploying the Allo protocol for Impact Stream. So it was a project in Togo where they actually were doing grants and doing it all on chain with locals and with the local elders, et cetera, actually voting on the projects. And these were IRL projects that were happening. So this was really exciting, really cool.
That's
seeing
cool.
The protocol being deployed and literally down to 3G capable phones. Some of the challenges, speaking technologically or economically, the technology is there. And then thinking about how do we validate within a local node or use technology so that it doesn't get slowed down by essentially the lack of internet connectivity. It was just amazing seeing that project work out all these technical foibles in order to accomplish a specific goal which was, yeah.
That's super cool. That is really cool. I hope, and I'm confident that we will see more stuff like that. I think part of it is taking the technology and putting it into environments like that. But I also think, quite frankly, part of it is also truly redirecting profits from the opposite of that into those communities. You know, it's like, I guess a good way to put it is that impoverished people in Appalachia don't need a ledger.
Right.
They don't need a ledger device, most likely. So maybe some of them do, but most of them don't need a ledger device. They need support. They need help. And
IRL.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's okay. So if like my dear friends, Coinbase or others are making billions and billions, okay, there's an opportunity to direct some aid that way. I really sincerely hope that our other not so friendly friends, the SEC and the regulators decide to make choices that reflect an understanding that there is a huge opportunity to serve the middle class and to serve those facing poverty and facing challenges through crypto, and that it's not all just like tech nerd bro shit. It's not. I've tried to score an audience with my local state representative. He keeps like shoving me off with it. It's great. I love it. He sends me stuff about cattle legislation through an automated newsletter. It's great. I love it. He clearly understands the issue I'm talking about.
Like we could do supply chain with crypto with all the cows and have it on. Helium, I mean, Wi-Fi networks.
There's no reason. Oh man, I have my Helium miner running right behind me. It makes me like a few pennies a day. I love it. Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me as well is that really, I do truly see it as a bipartisan issue. There's something to get behind on Web3 and crypto on either side. If you're on the right, then, you know, you should ostensibly be about less regulation and supporting small business and around freedom of speech. And I wouldn't say that either side is a monopoly on that, mind you, but you know, and then if you're more aligned with the left, then ostensibly you're about the democratization around the redistribution, around the some of the creative forces behind that. And then if you're a fence-sitting centrist, then you just have to agree anyway.
Crypto, it only has upside.
Yes, exactly. See? Yeah.
All right, we got two.
That's realistic.
Okay, we got two. Maybe these will be, because I'm actually getting some stuff ready for ETH Denver. So I got to figure out some designs. Terminally on chain.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Who are you? Yeah, if you're, and maybe probably, I don't know, maybe if you have enough turnaround time, if you haven't worked with CrowdMuse, oh my God.
Oh, I love CrowdMuse. Yeah, CrowdMuse is super dope.
Okay, if you want an intro, let me. Maz is amazing.
I know Maz because I met her last year, and we were talking about, because my wife works in the secondary fashion space, so doing reselling and this whole ethos of making sure that it doesn't end up at zero value in the dump, et cetera. So whatever.
So not Shein.
Yeah. And starting higher end and keeping the value high along the various chains as it gets distributed. So of course, if we had all this on chain and thinking about something like Early Majority, who's actually creating their clothes, you're receiving an NFT of your item. So if you choose to sell it, the NFT can be transferred and that person actually knows that it was a genuine garment.
Solving provenance.
It's solving for so many interesting problems. And same with Nike is doing it, not a JPEG project, but Matt and CrowdMuse, they're doing it this conceptual, but practical, and if chips and Halo Kit and some of these others. I love all that stuff. So fascinated with all the IRL and tracking on chain stuff and Maz.
I appreciate you not saying fidgetal. I like you more for not saying fidgetal. Thank you.
Never.
Yeah, no.
IRL to URL. Like, I love that overall, but yeah, it just, I just remember when fidget spinners.
Yeah, no.
And then there was another one. It's the Arduino. It's the microcontroller company that came out with fidgets, and they were plug and play.
Oh God. Yeah. We're
sensors and things. All that. I was just like, I hated that. And then fidgets came out and I hated those. Yeah. So we're in complete alignment.
I think it's like the third time in our little hour long discussion that like you've had a particularly like highbrow reference, and I thought you were just talking about something like pretty derpy. I like it. It's just been a long week. It just takes me a few seconds to catch up. Okay.
My jokes are usually two levels. So there's like, exactly, there's the entry level. You're like, oh wait.
So it's by design.
So it's just what I do.
I love it. Very cool. Nice. Yeah, man.
Well, yeah, any other really exciting projects you want to plug or talk about before we go?
Yeah, I guess I would just say, feel free to follow me on Farcaster, Grace Seymour on Farcaster. Ostensibly, you could follow me on Twitter as well, but probably Farcaster is better. Feel free to reach out if you're building anything. In the coming weeks, we have a pretty big funding announcement to share. And in conjunction with that, I'll have a URL for like our proper little agency and stuff. But right now, feel free to follow me on there. And it's Base is pretty cool. Some of the token projects I mentioned are pretty cool. And I guess if there's one thing, and I'm going to look into the camera for this, if there's one thing I could chill, it's you. If you're out there and you're thinking about building something, like just like with me and the getting into sobriety thing, just like with learning, like that first step really is the hardest part. And if you have an idea, you can find people to help you build it. If it's a good idea and you get people excited, even if it's a bad idea and you get people excited, chances are that you can find funding. There's so much information out there, and the people who move right now are going to, they're going to see benefit. I'd rather not shill myself. I'd rather shill everyone else.
Beautifully put. I really love that. That's a great point to end on. So with that, Gray, dude, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Cool. My pleasure, man.
Awesome. I'm just going to hit stop here, and then it's going to do a little uploady.